through July 31st, a bunch of the youth here and myself and then my mom, Billy Sue, and Tony Senor, we all took a little trip to Colorado for a nationwide youth roundup. And there was about 2,000 participants, youth from all over the United States, a lot from Missouri. We went out to Colorado for 10 days of just an awesome time. There was an evening and morning session every day. And then in the afternoons, we kind of had some sports activities that we did. We went to the river, we went hiking, and it was just an all around awesome, awesome time. And I really saw God move, not only in my heart, but also just in the hearts of these young people. And I'm going to give them an opportunity today just to share some of their testimonies of what God did in their heart. And I just want to also, I want this time, this service, to be a time just to thank you guys for your prayers for this trip and for the financial support. This trip was such a success because of your encouragement and your prayers and your support. And so I just want to thank you guys for that. And can we just give you guys a round of applause? Thank you. We really couldn't have done it without you. We had a bit of a rough start. I'm sure this is pretty much a public aware. On the way there on I-70, we broke down in the church van, caught on fire. And and so that was a bit of a delay, but everything was able to work out. We rented a 15-passenger van from Boonville, got back on the road, and the trip was pretty uneventful after that as far as things like that are concerned. So it was good. It was a good time. God stretched us, and we're all here alive and well. So, I mean, God be praised. Right now, I'm just going to show a brief slideshow of just kind of our trip pictures and things, and then we'll get into the testimonies. Some photos of kind of what we did every day. And the first part of the slideshow, there was it said that we were in Denver for a community outreach, and that was probably one of my highlights of being in NYR. We coupled with Kentucky Road Christian Church with their youth group, and so if you saw some faces you didn't recognize, that was some of the youth group members from Kentucky Road, and they've been going to NYR for the past 15 years, and so this year that we were able to go because of them, excuse me. And this year they wanted to do like a community service project, and they really didn't know what they could do. And so I contacted YWAM Denver. We've done a lot with YWAM, and I asked them if they had any ministries in the Denver area that we could work with. And they hooked me up with a church, and it was a very much a Latino church. And they wanted to do their first ever church outreach. And I'm like, well, our church has a little bit of experience doing community outreaches, and it was so similar to what we hear, that what we do. They had the face painting, and they had like a little prayer booth, and they had the hot dogs and stuff. And so we were able just to jump right in, and we were there from like 10 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon, just reaching out to their community. Tony grabbed one of the youth from our youth group and went door to door inviting them. And so it was just a really cool opportunity to work in Denver and help out with this church. And they were so appreciative because it was their first time doing something like this. And Kentucky Road was really blessed to be a part of that as well. And so that was kind of how we jump started our week in Colorado, was doing this community service project, pouring ourselves out so then we could receive throughout the without the week all the that God had for us as individuals. And so like I said, each morning we went to a morning session. We had some really dynamic worship, and then we listened to a speaker give a message. And then they had different workshops for each age group. So if you were in junior high, they had a class for you. If you were a freshman, sophomore, there was a class. Junior, seniors, adults, youth leaders. And so we all kind of did our own thing after the morning session. And then we had the afternoons free to do whatever. And then in the evening, we came back together. And so it was just a really great time. And so now we're just going to hear a few testimonies about that. So just be able to receive from this. Taylor Pasha.
Well, I just want to say I had a really, really awesome time, and it was really fun, and all the people from Kentucky Road were amazing, and I made a lot of new friends, and just saying, I'm not really much for camping. And the last time we went camping, it was kind of scary, so. Just saying, like, the whole cot thing was, like, much better than last time, so that was good. But see, we fit, like, 5 cots into 1 little tent, which it's a good thing we like each other. So basically, I kind of have a funny story to tell. So we were at the that outreach, and it was towards the end after we had helped for a while, and they were giving us out like free T-shirts and stuff, and everyone had taken all of them from the top, and I looked at the bottom, and I was like, "What is that?" And so I look, and it's like this brand new ice cream maker, and I'm kind of like, I kind of love all cooking and, you know, like Cuisinart and all that. And so I look, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if they meant to give that away. And so I asked one of the girls, I'm like, did you mean to give this away? And she's like, hold on, let me check. And so she comes back, she's like, yep, you can have it. I was like, okay. I was like, so I did all this, and God really blessed me. And it was like brand new, and I made ice cream, and it was really good. So there's my little story. Anyway, so... throughout this whole thing, what God really showed me is God isn't some like little thing in your life you can come to only when it's comfortable or convenient. He's in everything. He's every part of life and everything you do. And he's just not one little section. He's like everything. And he's so big and he loves everybody so much. And it was a really, really good trip. And I had a lot of fun, so.
Okay, so funny story, kind of like Taylor's. When we went to the river, like you guys saw, I couldn't keep my balance, so I kept getting knocked down a lot. And so towards the end, we were getting ready to leave, and I was trying to get back to the car, and I was still in the river, and I lost my footing, and I fell. So I start floating down the river, and everybody's like, get her, get her, get her. And so one of the boys from Kentucky Road, he can't weigh more than 90 pounds. He comes and he's like, okay, I'm going to try and get you. I was like, you're not going to get me. There's no way you're going to pull me out of the river when you're like 80 pounds. So he tries and he fails. So me and him are both start floating down the river. And then Jordan Fairley comes and she's trying to get us. And so we're up against this rock and like the water's coming against us and we're stuck. So... finally, the other youth leader, Tony, not our Tony, but Kentucky's Tony, he comes and he's able to pull us all out. And so my legs are all scratched up, but that was interesting. So the experience I had at NYR, it was really good and prepared me for the upcoming school year. The main thing God revealed to me during this time was his love for me. I grew up in a Christian home and taught through homeschooling and Sunday school about God. And, of course, you know, I learned Jesus died on the cross for all of us. And I kind of took that, though, as he died for us all as a group. I guess I didn't really think about it. I didn't really dig into it. So what God really revealed to me was that if there was one person on this earth or if there were a million people on this earth, he would have done the same thing because he loves me just as much as he loves Leanne. He loves me just as much. He loves us all the same. And he can give me his undivided attention and give Taylor her undivided attention at the same time because he just can. So the fear of God, you know, was another thing that I just realized his power and that I should really fear him because he's definitely something to be afraid of. And loved and praised. And so thank you everyone who helped pay for the trip and the prayers and support, and it was really fun and we all received a lot, so thank you.
I don't know if a lot of y'all know me, but I'm Jasmine. I'm new here. But this year I went to NYR with all of us, and this year at NYR, I had the best experience of my life. I learned not to be scared to reach out to God and to talk to him like he was standing right beside me. I reached out to God on this trip because I wanted him, and I didn't want to wait anymore. God showed me that he should be first in my life, and not some boy, sport, money, or fame, just him. But at the same time, it's hard when you're 14. But if I'm willing to change for God, then it will happen. God comes first in my life forever, and I like to thank everyone for this experience and because it changed me and my viewpoint a lot. Thank you for paying my way.
Can you guys see me? I just personally prefer to stand here. I don't like podiums at all. I just want to say that I cannot profess to you all how much this trip truly meant to me. I was excited because I knew that God wanted me to go, and whenever I went, it was just like, yes! So anyway, I go, and I could go on a really long time, but I'm just going to cut a few things short. For one thing, every single question I had in 2010, God, why this? Why'd you do this? He answered every single one of them, how to do it. I learned how to connect with people, how to minister better. He also taught me how to worship correctly. I also learned how to truly sing from my soul, to be able to ignore all my emotions that aren't connected and just be able to say, God, you know what? You deserve to be worshiped. I'm going to do this. And that's really been a blessing, even coming home. The trip was a true bonding experience. I feel like I completely, I don't know, my look at my other youth group members, it's changed. I feel like we've all started pouring out in each other and blessing each other. I actually had a particular event with one specific member. I'm not going to name them just for confidentiality, but there was this one night we did a communion. Only we did, like the Catholics, we did a confessional. So what we did was we did communion, and then we confessed, and I just wasn't feeling it that night. I don't know what was wrong. I know that emotions aren't important, but my spirit wasn't focused, and I prayed, and I just didn't feel like I was clean, and there was just something wrong. And so I sit, and I just got done crying, and I wasn't feeling good. So they come, this guy comes, and he's sitting next to me, and he makes sure I'm okay. And I feel kind of weird telling him because, you know, he just got done with the same thing, and I feel selfish. I feel totally self-absorbed. And he says that we wash each other's feet. And that just, it hit me. And I just started crying. I stopped crying because everyone started yelling at me. But it was just, it touched me. And Tony comes and he sits with us, and we're talking and stuff. And I get cold. So he goes up to his tent, and he grabs a dirty T-shirt. And so he takes his sweatshirt off, and he gives it to me, and then he puts on the dirty T-shirt. And I thought that was the sweetest act anybody had ever done for me. Only I wouldn't realize what it truly meant until morning, because I talked to God, because obviously he was here in some way. And he told me, when your best friend is crying, you don't just stay on the phone. You go directly to their house and you comfort them. And that's what he had done for me. He had taken this person as a vessel and he had come to me and comforted me directly. He had washed my feet and he'd give me the shirt off his back and put on the dirty T-shirt, or as he said, my sins, to show that it's all good, that I'm secure and that he took it graciously. And that's whenever I did finally realize, like Marissa said, that it was an individual love, and that I'd always believed, you know, whenever Jesus was going, carrying that cross, it was a love of obedience. It was like, okay, my father's told me to do this, and I'll carry this burden. No, it was if I don't do this, then the people I love are going to be gone. Okay, so that was just really important to me. I feel like I'm running out of time. I really want the youth members that went to NYR to hear this, because I came home and I was just so scared that I would lose NYR, because so many people do. And this is what he told me. The time was Sunday, July 31st, 2011, 1:40 p.m. After returning home from NYR, I came to my Lord in secret and rejoiced in his presence. He is my rock and my salvation, whom I will never release. He has brought me home with new gifts, new motives, new beliefs, and totally transformed. My fears have fallen, and I have prayed over their existence, waiting for them to evaporate. This phobia that they will steal me, that my transformation will soon decay into a death of this world, and that the passion for my God will soon be no longer, that NYR will be a memory, and I will have experienced it. But no, says the Lord, this is a renewing and transformation of your mind and heart and soul, and it will not devolve. At NYR, your spirit was free. It cried out to me openly and sincerely. My flesh is forgotten, but my spirit was widely awake. I cried, and I mourned for him. It danced and sang in the shadows of his wings, and it will not die. You have been lied to by the society, and you have pressed me into a corner. Your bedroom will no longer be your sanctuary, but our secret place. But so the world will see. It will hear my name. You will scream at the top of your lungs, Jesus is alive, in the quietest voice to the shyest person. You will slice through the lies of this world with your tongue and fire with the sword of wisdom. NYR was a place, was not just a place nor experience. It was a nation of who you are and who you always will be, desperately crying out for your God. NYR is freedom. Your spirit ran rampant, seeking me without the confines or prejudice of society. You ran freely and lovingly into my arms. You seeked and you found. That is why NYR was so impactful. That is why NYR was so powerful. You were free. And I just want to say to my other youth members that hit me like a rock. And I just started sobbing because I could feel the chains falling off. We go back to school and we're going to feel those chains around our ankles. And we're going to have everyone criticizing us and saying that Christians are hypocrites and all that crap. But whenever you go back home, whenever you're in the library, you got to remember that you know deep down inside that you are dying. And you need to ignore everybody else, because if you're allowing them to control you, you are killing yourself. And that's about all I got. Oh, wait, sorry.
So Tony over there told me to introduce myself, so I'm Alex. And for those of you who know me, I'm not much of a public speaker. I'm not very talkative, so I'm sorry if I stumbled my way through this. When I first started writing this, it started looking like one of Pastor's sermons, so I thought I'd shorten it down a bit. So here's the condensed version. The theme verse that NYR had for 2011 was from Psalm 24, 1 through 2, which reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. For he's founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." What God began revealing to me was that everything he's created is obviously his. It's not that big of a revelation. But if I'm in Christ, and I'm created by him, so I'm doubly his. And he began applying this to my life by saying that oftentimes I fail to act out in faith to do what he says and listen to his calling, because I'm afraid of what people might think, afraid of the beating my reputation might take. But he showed me that if I'm going to call myself a Christian, then I need to consider myself a tool that he can use. And that's what Christians really are. That's how he reaches the world, through them. And the second application actually came on the way back from NYR in the week following. I was scared stiff of losing what I gained, like Jordan said, because I've never been that close to God before in my life. So I thought I'd try staying close through, I guess you could say, employing a practice that Leanna talked about through, she walks up to random people at times, and she just asks if she can pray for them, just random people, she doesn't know them. So I thought I'd give that a try as a way of staying close to God. But what I noticed that happened, evolving into, was, I guess you could say, trying to earn my way to him, trying to earn my way to his love and grace like I didn't already have it. And so the problem with basing your faith off of anything else besides Jesus is that there's bound to be disappointments, and there really was. I came to a place where I felt like I had to earn my way to God's love and grace, like I already said. It was depressing, to say the least. But I thank God for bringing home an essential point this past week, through both Jordan and Leanne, that the one shadow-proof hope we have in this life is of Jesus' love. It's a stepping stone of our faith. It's a basic one, but it's one I've been missing. So I just thank you all that we could go to NYR. Thanks for your prayers and your support. That's all I have.
Good morning. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Tony. I'm one of the youth leaders. I've been serving for about 3 years in the youth group now. And first of all, before I even talk about NYR, I just want to say how much of a blessing it is to serve the youth, the Children's Church, be a part of VBS. I look at it twofold. First of all, to serve, to disciple, to lead those to Christ, closer to Christ. And I came to Christ when I was 20 years old. I didn't go to church growing up. And I look at it as being a part of that group. I missed out on some of those times. So being a part of the youth, to me, is like being part of the youth. And I truly, I feel like I'm just a big kid in that group. I can hang out with all of them, play chess, whatever. Talk about video games, you know, the works. And have fun and really just fellowship with them. So, you know, God does restore stuff to us and he does give us things that we might have missed out on. And that's a huge blessing. And I just want to thank the church for allowing me to be a part of that group and to be a part of the Children's Church group and VBS and all the other ministries that I'm a part of. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about NYR, obviously. And it was a very, very challenging trip for myself. A lot of things happened. And I felt like the Lord's like, well, here you go. Let's see what you're made of, kind of thing. But it was good. I've been on a few youth troops or trips before. We went to Wisconsin, Chicago, and stuff. But this trip, it's like, okay, that stuff was good and nice and everything. But now it's going to get hardcore. And I kind of made a list of the challenges that I had to go through or as we had to go through. And number one at the top of my list, I wrote church van again. And Pastor, I've already talked to you about this. Next year, if we go on a youth group trip and we're taking the blue van we have out here, I'm not going. So, and anyway, with that, it was really nice to have a trooper on our side, Doug McPike. He was, you know, he was right behind, right in front of us. And he was out of, he jumped out of the truck and was like, you need to get out of the van. And, you know, he's like, there's flames underneath the van and stuff. But anyway, that whole experience, you know, I was like, been there, done that. But, and it was just, this time around, it just felt very peaceful. There was a lot of peace involved in that situation, a lot of people helping out, and it just seemed to gel. And we've, you know, immediately got a, another van. We rented another van. That was cool. Erica helped out with that. That was very nice. And we weren't trapped in Washington, Iowa. That was a plus. Okay. So the church van, that was a challenge. That was only like an hour and a half in the trip. So I was like, okay, so it's going to be one of those trips. Second challenge that I came across when we actually got into Colorado, got into Sedalia, and I wasn't even thinking about this at all. And the youth group can attest to my nervousness and me, I don't know, yelling at them to be quiet. And I need complete concentration when I'm driving, when I'm nervous. Ask my wife. And anyway, we drove up and down the mountain, okay? And to me, that was very challenging. I mean, the Lord stretched me of my driving skills anyway, but that alone, I mean, there was, I don't know, turns I don't ever want to see again. So, and of course, you know, yelling at the youth group, you need to be quiet, you need to be quiet every 5 seconds. But anyway, the third thing, once we actually got into Colorado, of course, we talked about the outreach that they had with the church we coupled with. It was their first outreach, which was very cool. It was a blessing to be a part of that. And hopefully they have many more to come in that area. And it was a different kind of an outreach. For me, it was just very challenging. One instance, you know, Leanne talked about the flyer distribution that we kind of had on the fly. I took Alex Shaw and Levi Groves, and we kind of went around the neighborhood a little bit, and that was kind of challenging in and of itself because it wasn't really a rough neighborhood. It was just a different neighborhood compared to what we're used to. And anyway, we came to this one apartment complex, and there was this older lady, kind of, I think in her 40s or so. I meant older to me. Okay. Wow, I didn't see that coming. But anyway, you know, she kind of seemed like she was struggling a little bit. There was two stories to this apartment complex, and I guess they had, like, storage down on the lower level, and she seemed like she kind of had a few health issues and whatnot. And, you know, I handed her a flyer, and we went up to the second floor and, you know, tried to get those flyers out, and the Lord just spoke to me like this and said, hey, you need to talk to her. You need to see what's going on, see if you could help her out. And I was like, all right. I'm not as bold in that regard, but the Lord does speak to me sometimes about things like that. And I was like, excuse me, do you need any help with anything right now? You know, she's like, yes, I actually do. I'm going to be moving pretty soon here. And in my storage unit, there's some things I need to get out and move around and whatnot. And Alex and Levi and I, we helped out. We moved some empty boxes up to the upper level. And once we got that done, you know, I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. We're from Mexico, Missouri. We're here. We're getting ready to go on the NYR trip. And, you know, we're just doing this to get ready. And I asked her if I could pray for her. And we got to pray for her. I didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to, you know, ask her if she was saved or not, but just to pray for her. And, you know, I got to pray for her and her son. We prayed for them, and that was awesome. That really revved me up. So praise the Lord on that. Another challenge I came across was working with another church. You know, Kentucky Road. They're an awesome church. I love them. There's a special spot in my heart for all of them. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Another challenge, and of course, I was a Boy Scout. I went to camp many, many years ago, but I'm not a regular camper. But camping in the mountains can be a challenge, but it was awesome. Another big challenge for me personally, impromptu Bible studies. Okay. immediately once we got camp set up and, you know, everything ready to go and all that jazz, the youth just started coming up to me. Hey, do you want to have a devotional? Do you want to have a Bible study? And I'm like, well, yeah, duh. But it just seemed like it was nonstop the entire week, which was awesome. I love that kind of thing. But it just felt like, you know, the Lord challenged me to be spirit-led and spirit-fed and not of myself, and to help them, to disciple them in the Lord, and to be in the Spirit. Another instance of being impromptu, Leanne Reboin, okay, we have our night service speaker and worship in the evening. And after that, we have what we would call the campfire time. And basically, a leader would come up and share regarding the message that we just heard or whatever was on their heart. And 5 minutes after our evening service that we had, Leanne comes up to me, hey, do you want to do a campfire tonight? And I was like, sure. and that was very challenging. I mean, I literally had like 10 minutes or so before speaking to the entire group of, what, 36. And I tell you what, the Lord really, I just felt like the Lord was speaking through me. And I just let him control me and, you know, share what he wanted to share through me. And thanks, Leanne. And my last challenge that I had was youth group in general. Working with teenagers is a challenge at times, but it could be very fun, and it can, you can go back to, like I said earlier, I didn't get to enjoy youth group whenever I was in high school. But, you know, actually being like a parent figure is kind of weird to me, but it's still pretty cool to work with them. And then lastly, I have some verses I'd like to share. Okay, youth group, this is out of 1 Corinthians, by the way. First of all, like I said earlier, one of the challenges that came to me was working with a different church, and they have different leadership styles than what I'm used to, different methods. And it's not wrong. It's the way they do things, and that's good. They're the body of Christ too. But I just have some scriptures I want to share real quick. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, the members of one body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. But there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Okay, with that scripture, the Lord gave me that scripture, and I won't go into what Paul was trying to get across to the church of Corinth. But basically, you know, they're different, and the Lord was just teaching me a lesson about the body of Christ. And sometimes we can get, I've only been used to one church in my entire life for about 5 years, and we can become sheltered, we can become comfortable with our church body and not realize that we're just one tiny cell in the body of Christ, okay? And the Lord just taught me to love Kentucky Road, to respect them, and to, you know, look at them as the body of Christ and NYR in general. That sometimes we will be stretched by different ideas, by different idea, you know, theology, whatever it may be. But it comes down to loving the Lord first and loving your neighbor as you would want to love yourself. So the Lord really challenged me. He blessed me big time on this trip. I just want to thank you all for helping out with this trip, praying, and with the financial end of things. And hopefully we'll have a new van next year.
Isn't he great? He went through so much. He's been by my side for the past 3 years, and he's such a blessing. And I know all of them, not just the boys. He does a lot with the guys in the group, but just overall, he's such a blessing, and he's so willing to do whatever I ask and whatever I need, and I just appreciate that. I appreciate his flexibility, so thank you, Tony. I try to keep the group on their toes, and I try to keep them ready for anything. And so if some of those things, it's just me trying to, you know, make them flexible, and it's good. What I would like to share, and it just kind of ties in, the Lord has just really just needed it through a lot of what they shared today. And it is about, just about God's love. You know, that was such a theme, at NYR, and it's such an important thing to understand and to realize. So if you guys have your Bibles today, we're going to get into that just a little bit. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I was really nervous to stand up here, so I'm just going to act like I'm back in the youth. That's just my mindset. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, and it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." And what the Lord was really showing me in these verses, and I love Romans 12. I love the verses in Romans 12, but this little section is what really stood out to me as I was preparing for today, and I hope you guys can really receive from this as well, is the first part of verse 9 and 10, it says, "Let love be genuine," and then on down in verse 10, it says, "Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor." And when I was in high school and I was in the youth group back here, there was a message preached about like outdoing one another and showing brotherly affection and that honor. And so me and one of my friends in the youth group, we decided to make it like a competition, you know, to see who could outdo one another in doing good works. And so if we were approaching a building, like we would sprint to see who could get to that door first to open it for each other, you know? And so we really took it upon ourselves to really like take a hold of that verse and see like who could outdo one another and like pouring ourselves out for each other and ministering to each other. And I've shared that with the youth a little bit, how about how we should kind of have that attitude. You know, it says outdo one another in showing honor, you know, and that's just not honor for God, you know, that's honor for each other. And that was something before the trip, that weekend before we left for NYR, I had a severe allergic reaction to, like 3 days before we were going to leave for NYR, I had a severe allergic reaction to some medicine that I was on, and I broke out, I guess it was hives from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and it was miserable. And when I was in India about 5 or 6 years ago, I went through something similar, very much a physical affliction, and it's really... it's awful to be sick anyway, you know, awful to be hindered in some physical way. And so when I was kind of broke out in this allergic reaction, you know, my hands were swollen, my feet were swollen, and I just, it was miserable. I itched all over. And as I was going through that, I was reminded of a verse that the Lord spoke to me when I went through a similar physical affliction when I was in India a few years back. And it's from Isaiah 48. Verses 10 and 11, it says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." And something that the Lord spoke to me in India and something that he reminded me before I went to NYR was that sometimes he's going to bring you through things, maybe a physical affliction, maybe a relationship like turmoil and stress. But sometimes he brings you through those things so that he will receive honor and he will receive glory. And what he reminded me was that I'm here to serve and I'm here to pour out and to present myself and just to humble myself. And I felt like that was he... kind of just allowed into my life before I went to NYR, just as a reminder that I'm here to serve. I'm here to be a servant for the youth and for those that we went with Kentucky Road. I'm not all about just going, and I am the leader. I am the shepherd of this flock, and it is all about me. And the Lord was just kind of reminding me before maybe I went out like that, that it is all about Him. You know, it's all about me serving, humbling myself, and pouring myself out to minister. And that's not just my call as a youth leader. It's all of ours call that we have in our life to pour ourselves out and to minister. And if we go back to Romans, again, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And I want that to be our perspective. That should be our mindset, to look at one another and be like, what can I do to serve this person? What can I do to show that love? And I think sometimes we make love out to be something so sentimental, when really, if you really look at it, what is love? You know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking, you know. And so if you build it up to be some sentimental thing, you're going to be waiting for these feelings of love before you step out, and you can be so hindered by that, you know. And so what I've realized all throughout this year, this has been such a major theme, is that if I wait for those feelings before I step out and do things for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, then those feelings might not never come, you know. But what He's saying, He's commanding us to love. And what does that look like? Well, if somebody comes to me with their issues, or if I'm put in a situation like NYR where my patience is going to be tested, that is where I'm tested in my love for not only Christ, but for my brothers and sisters. You know, be patient, be kind. You know, that is what love looks like. And I've always felt like I have so much to give, you know, and I want to love, you know, and that's what the Lord calls me. But I sometimes become distracted by my issues, and I wait for myself to arrive before, and I'm like, okay, I have to work out all my issues before I step out and I love, you know. But as what I've seen is, as I step out, you know, and Alex kind of made mention to this, you know, I can go up to a random person and I can ask for them, you know, ask them if I can pray for them. And that's not something that I might have a gifting to do. I'm terrified. I'm terrified now being up here before you. And I'm terrified whenever God calls me to approach a stranger and ask them if they need prayer, or ask them if I can do this or that for them. It's not some special gift or some special anointing that I have, you know, because if you look in Acts, you know, you see how Peter, when at the day of Pentecost, he received the anointing and he was giving boldness to speak. But if you look in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and through the Gospels, Peter was a coward. You know, he was some lowly fisherman. And then before Christ was crucified, you know, he denied Christ 3 times, and he ran when he was pressured about whether he or not he had a relationship with the Lord. You know, and so sometimes I think we get in this mindset, okay, I'm a Christian, but what do we have to show for it? You know, are we going up to people? Are we asking them? Are we asking just our neighbors? You know, we sing a song about going to the ends of the earth for you. Oh Lord, I go to the ends of the earth. But are we willing to just approach each other in the body? Are we willing just to go across the street and seeing if our neighbors need anything? And then from there, seeing if they have a relationship with the Lord. And that's just been my personal challenge and conviction for this year, you know. And I was talking about how we should outdo each other, and how I kind of turned that into a competition in high school. And this year, my sister went overseas, and then my mom's best friend, Lee Bowman, we went on a trip to Florida. And she, when we were on the beach in Florida, she was just like, okay, we should just, like, every time, like, as we're laying here on the beach, we should just, like, get up and go talk to people and see if we can pray for them. And then let's walk down the beach, and if we see somebody, we should just ask if we can pray for them. And so being around Lee, like, it just really got me stirred up and just really confirmed what the Lord was doing in my heart, asking me just to step out in boldness, you know, because I wanted a story. And that was something that they talked about at NYR. We should crave a bigger story, you know, because I've always kept a journal since I was really little. And if they were to turn that into a story or a novel or something, it wouldn't be that big. But if God were to write my story, just think of all the things that he would put in there. You know, things that if you were just to give your life to him and surrender your life to him, all the things that could come about because you've given your life to God. And that's kind of my perspective. I'm like, Lord, if I give you my life and I say yes to you, I want you to write my story. And so this year, since we went on vacation, I've really been purposeful about looking and for opportunities to serve God and just to pour myself out and to be bold, you know. And it's almost as simple sometimes as just asking, how are you doing? You know, what can I do for you? Just asking these simple questions, and then from that, seeing what God does for that and just getting in there. And because of all of this that God's doing in my heart, my sister, my mom's best friend, Lee, and I are in a competition to see who can have the most stories at the end of the summer of all that God has done, like God's stories. And it's been so fun to try to like get out there and just do things, stepping out of my comfort zone, really. You know, this might seem like a natural thing, but really, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm terrified to be up here, and it's always terrifying for me to step out, but it's me wanting for God to use me and for God's name to be glorified, you know, because it's not about me, and God usually gives me the things to say. And so that's what love looks like. And that's what I hope to have kind of broken down a little bit for you, because sometimes I think we can spiritualize it, you know, and I want to stand before you and I want to appear so spiritual, but really, you know, I'm humbled to be up here, you know, and it's always terrifying to get out there and step out in faith. But God can use that. You know, he used Peter and all his weakness and him being this coward, you know, but he said, I'm a follower of Christ, you know, and that's what we are. We are followers of Christ. When we say that we're Christians, you know, that means we're trying to put Christ first in our life. And when we look at that, you know, it's just loving God and loving each other and putting each other above ourselves, you know, and as we really be purposeful in doing that, cool stories are going to come from that. You know, I have so many cool little things that God did all throughout the summer and that have blessed me and have kept me passionate about God. You know, it says here back in Romans 12, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo each other in showing honor. And then in verse 11, it says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. That doesn't seem like a very passive statement. You know, it says, don't be slothful, be fervent in zeal, be fervent in the spirit. Don't be slothful in zeal, you know, so step out, be passionate, don't hide that light under a bushel, you know. And that's been such my message to the youth, is don't hide those lights. A lot of you are going to be going back in school, you young people, or even some of you going back into college, you know, or even in the workplace, you know, don't be ashamed of that light that God has given you. If you are in Christ, you know, there's a light, there's something that's going to attract people to you. And as you attract people to that, you can point them to Christ. It's as easy as that. You know, you don't have to have all these answers. You don't have to have all this knowledge. You know, if you're in this book and if you're getting it into your heart, God can use you and God can give you the boldness to speak to your peers and to your co-workers and to your family. And that's just been my prayer for not only for myself and the youth, but for everyone here, is that we'd have a boldness, a supernatural boldness, because my natural tendencies isn't to be bold. And some of you guys, I'm sure some of your alls, it's not natural to go up and talk to a stranger, you know, but if we're going to bring our community to God and allow God to be glorified in this place, we have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and not be overcome by what's natural to us, because love isn't natural either. You know, we have to walk in the supernatural strength of the Lord, you know, and not walk in our flesh, because our flesh, that's what's natural, you know. But when we receive Christ into our lives, he calls us to walk in that supernatural strength, to walk in the spirit and not of the flesh. But there's that constant battle that's always fighting inside of us, the flesh versus the spirit, the light versus the darkness. And so what are we going to succumb to, you know? And so, and for the longest time, and this is where this message is coming from, I was so sick of just waiting for my to get through all my issues that I had, all this fear of man and all this pride. Like, I was waiting to work through all these things before I stepped out in boldness. You know, I have to be this spiritual person before I step out. And that was such a lie. You know, that was such a trick that was being played on me, and it held me back. And so this year, I've just tried to push all that aside. And what I've seen as I just push those things aside and be like, I'm not going to wait to be perfect. I'm not going to wait to be Miss Spiritual. I'm just going to step out in obedience. And through that, I've seen God grow me in my faith exponentially. You know, I've seen growth come about and maturity and this new love and this new passion in spite of my issues. You know, and we all have those things that we might have in the back of our mind that I can't step out, or I can't talk to this person, or I can't do this and I can't do that until this is sorted out. But we need to be loving the Lord and loving each other in spite of, you know, in spite of those things, you know, and allowing him to work in your hearts. And so I'm just going to read this verse again, and then we're going to close and we'll have some pizza in the back. But I just want you guys just to really get this into your heart. It says, let love be genuine. You know, we don't want to be fake. We want to be honest. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. All of this is not passive. You know, it's you being purposeful and putting others above yourself and not being held back by those things that you might think you need to overcome before you do that, you know. And so that's my encouragement, my challenge to you guys today, you know, and to encourage these youth to keep pressing on. Pray for them as they go into high school. And I guess a lot of them are going to be going back to school on Wednesday, you know. And so let's just be praying for each other. Let's serve each other. It's such a good opportunity in the walls of this building to know who has needs, you know, and to pour out on one another. So if you guys will just agree with me in prayer, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor. Oh, Jesus, I just thank you, God, for this time, God, this privilege it is, Lord Jesus, just to talk about you, God, and to hear about you, Lord, and just to be encouraged by the testimonies, God, and all that you've done in and through these young people and in my life, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would continue that work, God, and that, Lord God, that seeds would have been planted today, God, and that you would be the one to nurture those things, God, and grow those things, Lord, and that we would be purposeful, God, in seeking out opportunities to love, God, and that we would not allow laziness and slothfulness, God, to hold us back, God. We wouldn't let our issues, God, hinder us, Lord Jesus, from fulfilling the call that you have on our lives, Lord, because we love you so much, God, and you say that they would know us by our love, God, and you didn't come to be served, but to serve, Lord. So may we have that mindset, God. May we have that attitude and that behavior, God, in all that we do. Lord, may it not be enclosed in the walls of this church building, God, but may we take it out into our communities and in our homes and our workplaces, God, that you might be glorified, Jesus. So we just expect great things, God. We expect stories to come about, God, of what you're doing in our life, Lord. Motivate us, God. May we just take hold of the call that you have for us, Lord, and may there just be an excitement and a joy because of that. Father, we just love you so much, and we just thank you, God, for the pizza that we're going to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, hanging on every word. Awesome. Thank God. All of you. Praise God. Because of what the body has done in supporting and praying and giving, that is in part why we've just received what we did. I mean, a pure anointing, a multifaceted anointing. And so the strong, let's say the older ones, they support the younger or the weak. And then we see them grow up and they carry on. And the wind of God's at their backs. And we've felt some of that today. And as she was talking about the expression of love, not just the sentiment, but the verb to love others, it's important in these difficult times that not only do we know that we have the Lord's care, which is primary, but he's also given us the body. He's given us one another. And we need to, in our church family, our vision is Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. We need to reaffirm that in these times, that we've got each other's backs, that we're going to support one another, that you're not alone. You're not just hanging out there, but you have a family. And God places a solitary. He places a lonely. He takes his rebirthed ones, and he plants them into a family, the church. And local churches are there for a covering. And I want to put forth today a challenge with that. And the obvious is serve one another, serve the God and the community, so on and so forth. But the less obvious one is that just as they were covered, just as they were protected, they were provided for, you know, albeit the van. But anyway, we'll deal with that. We want to be that for one another. In the revolutionary era, they put everything on the line. And they committed to each other their lives and their sacred fortune. I mean, they were willing to give up their fortune. And Ben Franklin said, we all better hang together because we'll certainly hang separately if we're defeated. So for a church family, that I thought about this recently, would I give my life? Would I die for people in the family? Would I go forward to take the blow? And I feel that I would, and I'd like to think that I would, that I would give up my life, that I'd sacrifice my life for you, that I would watch your back, and that for us as individuals, that your family is not by yourself. You as an individual, you might not be married, you are not on your own, that this church is part of your covering, that we've got your back, that I've got your back, your family is my family. This is not some cultic sentiment. This is the body of Christ. And so I'm committed to see that you don't go down. And you need to be committed to see that the others, the strong bearing the weak. I mean, that really is love in action. And in these last days, part of the reason why the Jews have survived from generation to generation is not only the vertical favor, but they also got each other's backs. They help each other. They're a true community. And so I stand up in here today, before we line up and eat today, I stand up here to say that I commit my life, I commit my fortune, I commit what I have, my time, my talents, my wealth, I commit it to you however God wants to allocate it. If I need to be a covering for you, then me and my family, since I represent that family, we commit ourselves to you. And if you'd like to make that stance with me, and some of you may not be part of this church family, you need to definitely give that to your church family. But if you'd like to make that stance, they were covered, they were supported, they were blessed, it's come back our way. You want to stand with me and say, I'm willing, and this is not some casual commitment, so don't come forward if that's not in your heart. But you got the backs of one another. You're going to watch out. You're going to comfort the afflicted. You're going to support the weak. When it's your time to receive, you're going to be gracious in receiving and not be prideful and deny it. And so that's what I want to ask as if we would just come together today and make a stand and just pray towards that end. So if you want to be part of that prayer, you just come on down here. You're part of this family. You're already doing it. It's already in your heart. I may have just defined it more clearly for you. Love in action, true love. I'm going to watch out for you. You watch out for me. I'm not going to watch over you to judge you and harshly condemn you. But how can I be a help to you? I commit myself to you. I commit my life and my fortune to you. That's a revolutionary idea, a love revolution. Lord, you're the one who leads and guides. There is no plan for this, but that same anointing that we've sensed today is here. And Lord, may we be committed to you and to one another. Help us, God, to understand that we are to be a covering for one another. that love is not just a sentiment. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love seeks to bless. Help me, Lord God. Nobody is disturbing. Nobody is a distraction. Nobody is unimportant. This is the family that you've planted me into. I'm rooted down deeply here. And I want to bear fruit upward that others can partake of. Help us all, Lord, to commit our lives and our fortunes. Lord, my house is not mine. It's yours. It's to be a place of hospitality. Lord, my money is not mine. It's yours. It is to be ready to distribute, willing to give. Lord, my time is not mine. It's yours. Help me, God, to be careful, to hear your voice, to make the calls, to not just be concerned about my own little world, but to spend that time in express love to others. Lord, my health and my energy is not my own. Lord, my weaknesses are not my own. They are to be borne up by others. And so I submit that and I commit that to this family. Help us today, Lord God, to stand with one another, to have each other's backs, O Lord, and to let that love truly be in action. Then we know, Lord, that the world will know we are Christians by our love one for another. They will know that we are disciples as we serve each other through love, as our faith works through love. Thank you, Jesus, for this time and this gathering. Let it be a special day that registers deeply in each of our hearts. In your name we pray, precious Jesus. Amen.